You know, I read one time about Martin Luther. There's a book that you can find out there, maybe on Amazon, that says it's called Table Talks with Martin Luther. And it was Martin Luther who said, you don't really get to know somebody until you sit down and have a meal with them. Then you get an idea of what they're like and who they're like. And so whenever we have a meal together, you get an idea of how people are, because I guess pretensions are lowered or something like that, and you get a better idea of who they are. Well, in keeping with the occasion of eating, I thought we'd have a thought or two about some of the eating occasions in Scripture, and just to tie it in, some of the lessons that come from that. And one of the first ones that I think of is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's the incident that was with Elisha, the prophet. Now, Elisha was the protege of Elijah, right? Elijah came first. He was the great, mighty prophet, spoken about many times, referred to a lot of times in Scripture. You know, when the Lord was on the cross and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, they were thinking he was calling for Elijah. That's how prominent in their minds Elijah occupied in the psyche of the nation of Israel. And, you know, it talks about the Old Testament closes with a reference to Elijah, about John the Baptist coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and, you know, the opening chapters of the New Testament, same type of thing. John the Baptist came in the power of Elijah. So Elijah is very prominent. But Elisha performed twice as many miracles as Elisha did. And not that this meant anything, but he asked for a double portion, and that has a certain meaning to it. But if you just take a look and you count all the miracles that Elijah did, a certain number of them, and Elisha, he did twice as many. I'm not quite sure that verse really refers to that, but regardless, that's the case. And in one occasion in Elisha's ministry, he was teaching the sons of the prophets. Now, these were the original Bible prophets of the day, the Bible school students of the day. And the time came for the meal to come, because every time you have a meeting, like we did today, right? You have a meeting and then you have a meal. So he said to his servant, you know, put some stew on the stove, that type of thing. So the servant goes apparently to the cupboard and finds that there's no food there. So without any announcement, he goes out into the field in that day, and there was a famine in the land. So, you know, what was he expecting? There was no crops that were growing because of the lack of rain. But he goes out there and he finds a patch of wild gourds. And he takes those wild gourds and he takes them and he brings them back. He doesn't announce he went out, doesn't announce he comes back. Takes those gourds and shreds them and puts them in a pot and puts it on the stove to cook. So then when he's finished making that pot of stew, he serves it to the sons of the prophets. And immediately when the sons of the prophets tasted it, their exclamation was, "There's death in this pot." Now, anytime we have a covered dish dinner, when I always lift up the lid, I always say, "There's death in this pot." It doesn't always go over very well, you know? But that's what he did anyway. And they realized that this was poisonous, because apparently he went out there and got poisonous mushrooms or poisonous gourds or whatever, because it was a time of famine. And good food doesn't grow in famine, but what does grow when there's no rain, like my front yard, weeds, grow really well when there's no rain. I don't know why that is. They grow just fine. They're not good plants, but they grow even when it's dry. So he takes these gourds, he shreds them, puts them in the pot of stew. It's death in the pot. So they go and tell the man of God. The man of God in this case is Elisha. And so he comes and he puts flour in this pot of stew. And it counteracts the poisonous effects. Now, if you look in Leviticus chapter 2 and the meal offering there, the meal offering was made of fine flour. And flour in the Scripture would remind us of the consistency of the perfections of Christ. Because he is like, just like flour is perfect, there's no lumps in it or anything like this, perfect powder. It reminds us of the perfections of Christ. So whatever false doctrine, which is what a reminder of this is, when you have bad weeds and bad plants coming in to be the provision for God's people and creates an adverse effect like it did in the days of Elisha, it's a great reminder to us that when there's a famine in the land, the things that grow well are bad doctrine. You know, that's what proliferates. And good food is not to be found, just like in our country. And even God's people can accidentally, ignorantly grab a hold of bad food, if you will, bad doctrine, and without knowing it, unwittingly share it with God's people. And of course, the effect of bad doctrine is going to be an adverse effect. There's death in his pot. And so the way to counteract that is to counter with proper teaching of the person and work of Christ. And that meal offering is interesting because they didn't tell the sons of the prophets to, you know, knock this stew over and start all over again. It just was counteracted with this flour. So anyway, false teaching can be counteracted with the proper teaching of the person and work of Christ. And so that was an eating scene that reminds us that bad doctrine is counteracted by good teaching on the person and work of Christ. Bad doctrine has a bad effect on the people of God, but that way to be counteracted is by putting the right food before them. And that's why you pray that every message given exalts Christ and highlights the glories of his glories and the word of God. So that's one scene. Another scene is found in Mark chapter 1, and that's the account of Matthew, who later became, well, he was known as Levi, later became known as Matthew. If you remember, prior to that account in Mark's gospel, and it's in other accounts too, but Mark's gospel specifically, the paralytic was the man who was brought to the Lord through the four other people. Remember that account? This guy was paralyzed. He couldn't walk at all, but his four friends brought him into the room where the Lord was. They broke the hole in the wall. Whoever paid that bill, I don't know, but they lowered him down and he came to know the Lord. And it was interesting. It's interesting that passage says when he saw their faith, speaking of the four others who worked creatively to bring a person to the Lord. That's a good reminder to us that we can work creatively to help people come to know Christ, the Savior, and bring them to the Lord. So after that incident, then, and that's the help of four people helping this guy, this paralytic, come to know the Lord. But the next passage is Matthew. He's called Levi. And it says, the Lord was walking by the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. And he looked at Matthew, or Levi, and he said, come follow me. This is the powerful call of the Lord without any use of four people. So a lot of people come to know the Lord different ways, right? And that's the way he came to know the Lord. And then after he came to know the Lord, he threw what? What did he do? What was the next step in Matthew's account? What did he do? He threw a party. He threw a gospel feast. He brought all his friends that were part of his occupation, I assume, other publicans, tax collectors, and others. And he brought them to the place, his house, and he threw a dinner. And through that, it says in that passage, many believed. You know, the lesson right there is that when someone comes to know the Lord, there is an inroad into their lives that connect with a lot of different people. If you have one person comes to know the Lord, it could lead to others knowing the Lord because of the impact of just one person and how they're connected. And so that's found in Mark chapter 1. That's a good lesson from an eating scene as well, because here they are at Matthew's home, and he had money, obviously. He had a home. He had a lot of friends. These friends probably weren't so great, didn't have a good reputation, but they all came, many of them came to know the Lord. So it's a good reminder to open our homes, our hearts and our homes to the things of the Lord, because you never know who will come to know Christ as Savior. We had a college and career Bible study in our first home in Lenoka Harbor. And through that, we had some people come to know Christ. It was just a Bible study that we opened up for college and career people. That Bible study, little did we realize when we started, would go for about a dozen years, 13 years, something like that. And some people came to know the Lord through that. So it's really great. Another Bible study we had at Crestwood Manor over in Whiting, same type of thing. Somebody asked me if I would come and start a study there, because this woman was in our chapel, was living there, and she had a friend that she wanted to talk to about the Lord. She asked, she said, Mark, could you come on over and talk to us about the scriptures? And I did. Eventually, this woman, Vicky, came to know Christ, the Savior. And from that study, we still have it going on. That's a study in Whiting right now. It's 23 years old, that study, and it's still going on. And so we've had lots and lots of people down through the years. But it's because somebody opened their home to the Lord, and that's what Matthew did. So don't forget to open your homes to the Lord in an evangelistic way, even in a encouraging the saints way, because there may be some people that get invited from someone in the assembly who doesn't know the Lord, and eventually they come to know Christ. So that's a great lesson there from Mark chapter 1. There's another lesson that we have from 2 Samuel chapter 9. That's the case of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, as you know, was lame in both his feet. There was an incident where his mother was running, dropped him on the ground when he was a little baby, and crippled his legs so he couldn't walk. Later on, David wanted to show kindness to Jonathan, his good friend Jonathan, for the someone of the household of Saul. Because of Jonathan, he wanted to show kindness. And the servant says, yeah, there is one fellow, his name is Mephibosheth, but he's lame in both his feet. That's what it says, 2 Samuel chapter 9. So this guy had no value because he couldn't work, because he couldn't walk. And yet the Lord wanted to show, David wanted to show his kindness to this man because of someone else. Now that in itself, 2 Samuel chapter 9, is a wonderful gospel account. The Lord showing us kindness for the sake of someone else, the Lord Jesus. And to those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, we really didn't have any ability to walk for the Lord or work for the Lord or do anything for him. But we were shown kindness for the sake of Christ. Titus chapter 3 says the kindness of God toward man appeared. And that is because of the work of Christ. So that's a great lesson right there. Gospel account right there of 2 Samuel chapter 9 about how the Lord has shown his kindness to us. And when Mephibosheth came to that table, David said, you can have all you want. And like an all-you-can-eat buffet. I love those, all-you-can-eat buffets. Right? Just one price and everything is yours, available to you, right? We have a Chinese buffet in our area, and like everybody in town gets it because it's like $10, and it's everything you can think of that you could eat there. And everybody really likes that buffet. Chinese buffet. Well, Mephibosheth could eat as much as he wanted, and David said, you will eat here as one of the king's sons continually. And that in itself was a wonderful gospel picture. It says in the Song of Solomon, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. And we have a bounty of blessings spiritually that we've been brought into through Christ. And we'll always sit under the king's table. Brother Henry from the Memorial Assembly, the father, Brother Henry is with the Lord now, has been for many years. He used to say, once Mephibosheth got his feet under the table, no one knew that he was lame. Okay? And like we were talking about this morning, when you come to know Christ as Savior, your sins are forgiven. And we may have problems and issues, but from a standpoint of our standing, we're perfect in Christ. So no one knows our problems, because God looks at us and says, you're just as if you'd never sinned, right? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. So that's a great story too. An eating scene that we see. There is two more that I want to make a reference to. Barzillai. There was a guy in David's life named Barzillai. And he was like 80 years old or something like that. And when David was with his mighty men on the run from Saul, Barzillai threw a feast for David. David was in need, and Barzillai met that need by serving David the food that he needed. And it was a great time for him, Barzillai, to be able to show that kindness to David. And David never forgot that. So later on, when David was moving on in his kingdom and get ready to come to the throne, Barzillai was an older man. He says, let me just go home and, you know, finish my life out and that type of thing. But David acknowledged the service that was done for him when he acknowledged Barzillai. And the Lord will always acknowledge our service done for him. We may be at the work, so to speak, for years and years and wonder, did we ever make a difference in the kingdom of God? And the answer is yes. In your own way, in your own portion of the vineyard, you have made a difference. You may not realize it. Barzillai didn't realize it, but David acknowledged it, and he was thankful for it. And at the judgment seat of Christ, God will remember everything that we did for him. He who has eyes like a flame of fire can see in every corner. He knows everything that's done for him. And we think of that little ditty that says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so when we do things for the Lord, that are not forgotten. And in days of Nehemiah, when the soldiers would go out, they'd go out through the horse gate to the field of battle. But when they came back in, they would come in through the Ham-Mithkat gate, which is the gate of review. And they were reviewed for their battle scars, everything that was accomplished on the battlefield. And they were rewarded accordingly. And the Lord will reward us accordingly for things done for His sake and for His glory. So Barzillai was not forgotten. He provided for David in the time of need. The Lord won't forget us for things that are done for His sake. And then the last thing is in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. It's the visit of the Queen of Sheba. And the Queen of Sheba had heard great things about this wonderful king, King Solomon. And it says in the opening verse of that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 10, that when she heard about the fame of Solomon and everything that was characterized in his kingdom, she made this long journey to check it out. Now the Lord would refer to this in Matthew chapter 12. He would say, you know, this generation will rise up and will condemn it, you know, because a greater than Solomon is here. And he's talking about the Queen of the South. The Lord made a reference to the Queen of the South. That's the Queen of Sheba. In other words, the Queen of Sheba heard all about this great king, King Solomon, and she packed her bags with her entourage and walked across this huge wilderness to check out the claims of this great king, if indeed it was so. Now that in itself right there is a great picture of Christ and people who hear about the person of Christ or hear about a fellowship of believers who love the Lord, who are willing to check out the claims of this great king, the Lord Jesus. Just like Bathsheba heard about the great king, King Solomon. And so she made that long journey, spent the money, spent the time. When the Lord was referring to the Pharisees, he said, look, you know, basically I'm here and you have no interest in me. But the Queen of Sheba, she made this long journey to check out Solomon. So the people of this generation will rise up against you and will rise up and condemn this generation because a greater than Solomon is here. So that was a lesson right there. But when the Queen of Sheba, in 1 Kings 10, she came to the kingdom, she looked around, and it says there in the verses that follow, opening verses, it says, when she saw the attendance of her ministers, meaning his servants, and the food on their table, the food, the banquet that he provided for his subjects, and their apparel, their clothing, and the diligence of the ministers that were subjects of the kingdom, it says it took her breath away. And she said, the half had not been told me. Happy are these your men. Happy are these your servants who daily sit before you. She was so taken up with this king. She'd observed the way that he carried himself, Solomon. His ascent, it says, in the temple to his house, the way he worshiped the Lord. She saw this wonderful kingdom with all these subjects who were in order, who were diligent. And the way that he provided for them, it says it took her breath away. And she couldn't get over it. And so she would go back. She ended up going back to her kingdom with this wonderful message about this wonderful king, King Solomon, the way that he took care of the subjects of his kingdom. That also is a picture of the Christian life, the way God provides for us. He brings us into his banqueting house, his banner over us, his love, as we've mentioned. He provides food from his word, fellowship with believers, fellow believers. He gives us a life and gives us the resources of prayer and the word of God, the Holy Spirit, things we've already talked about today, to help us to enjoy the kingdom that he is providing for his people. That's just like Solomon there in 1 Kings 10. So he provided for his people food on his table. And they enjoyed the food on this table. The food on our table is not the physical food that you have here, but the spiritual food that he provides. The great and precious promises, it says in 2 Peter 1, exceedingly great and precious promises called us by his virtue and glory. All those wonderful verses there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Just reminders to us what God provides for his people. So just like Solomon provided for his people, the Lord provides for our people. And we're a witness to those around us who, you know, might have heard a little bit here and there about our life in Christ, our fellowship, our testimony. And then they come and check it out. And for those who come and check it out with an open mind, they're influenced and impacted by what they see and what they hear. Good reminders to us to be testimonies for Christ wherever we go. So those are five different eating scenes that we see in Scripture and wonderful lessons associated with that. So every time you sit down at the table and are reminded of the food, the work that went behind it, and the good tasty food and all that, just remember God has provided for his people as well. And all these lessons that come to us from the Word of God. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you again for your precious word and the wonderful lessons that come to us from the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that we would be mindful too of being great testimonies for you, and that we would, through our character and through our conduct, reflect well upon the one who is our King, greater than Solomon. And Father, that we would seek to open our hearts and homes to people around us so that they would be exposed to the blessings that are part of the Christian life. They would not just be private to ourselves, but that we would be reaching out and talking with others. And as Matthew did, sharing with those that he have had contact with in his work associations and everything else. And so, Father, we pray your blessing and your encouragement to the assembly here at Monterey. Bless their hearts. Encourage them as they, with all of us, look for with patience, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these things, for your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.